Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer along with Gary Ellerson, former Packer and Badger running back. Leroy Butler, inventor of the Lambeau Leap. He also is a Packer Hall of Famer. Also a Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist. And number one in your hearts, even though he wore number 36, a number that Nick Collins wore as well. Other side of the glass, executive producer Dan Plucker wearing his Detroit Lions cap. And wearing his blue Ford t-shirt today, talking about Galarraga throwing a no-hitter for the Tigers 10 years ago today. You see, that's what I'm dealing with back here in the studio. Yes, Plucker.
It was a perfect game, not a no-hitter.
Oh, sorry. Perfect game. For the you non-baseball guys, Gary and Leroy, that means it's actually better because he didn't walk anybody or there were no base runners, so. Just to clarify, he's very happy. He's smiling 10 years later.
Well, it didn't count. You know the story, right, Sparky?
Go ahead, talk about it.
Right. So it was the bottom of the ninth inning, top of the ninth inning. Sorry, it was at home for the Tigers. There were two outs. Okay. It was a ground ball to Ramon Santiago at shortstop, throw to first base, and Jim Joyce, I believe, was the first base umpire, called him safe when he was out by a full step and a half. And so he lost the perfect game. And the next, they didn't have replay back then, so it didn't count.
Oh, I was watching it at home.
Really?
It couldn't happen to a better team.
We talked about it on this show. Yep. We did talk about it. You can imagine we talked about it. We had half of Michigan hosting shows here at that point.
We definitely talked about it on the station.
Okay, yeah. The question is, do you trust Matt LaFleur after his comments about the Jordan Love pick? And this is from the DA show, last weekday's morning show, and he went off on a little bit of a tangent.
They saw Jordan Love as a successor to Aaron Rodgers, and they said, we can't let this guy get past us. We're going to be aggressive in going up and getting him. He did not fall to them. That wasn't the next guy on the board. That was their guy, and they spent draft capital to go get him. And so I got a problem with this right now with Matt LaFleur. I like Matt LaFleur. I like what he did last year with the Packers. He went 13-3, got to an NFC Championship game in year number one. There's a lot to admire about that early success. But again, don't sell us on, best guy on the board. We just had him ranked, best guy on the board. We just had to take him. This guy didn't fall to you. You traded up to get him. You had a plan. You were willing to be aggressive because you were worried he would slip by you. And you got plans for him. So I just don't like the lie here, okay? Because Matt LaFleur should say, look, We believe he can be a really good quarterback, and we need to safeguard against the fact that Aaron Rodgers might not have a lot of football left. And so this is the future. We need to plan accordingly, and we feel really good about Jordan Love, so we had to get aggressive. We knew there were going to be teams between us and when he was available that were going to take him, and we felt like it was worth the cost. Okay, fine. I disagree with not giving Aaron Rodgers help right now. I disagree with not drafting a wide receiver. I disagree with not giving him another first-round piece to win a Super Bowl right now. And I also disagree with pushing him out the door. But at least you'd be honest. At least I could trust your answer there. That, look, you see something that other people may not, and you're saying, you know what? We're preparing for life after. But instead to say, hey, he just was best guy on the board, but just fell to us. That's a lot.
Okay, so there's DA from the DA show on CBS Sports Radio. He'll be joining us coming up here at 3:35, so about 30 minutes from right now. And this leads us to the question, do you trust Matt LaFleur after his reasoning of why they took Jordan Love? 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Trust is a big word, Leroy Butler. When you put the word trust into a question, it can sometimes lead to some emotion about whether or not you should trust somebody.
Isn't trust just as big as lie?
I think so.
I mean, to me, the most impactful thing is if you felt like you were lied to. Because trust means you can lie to me, I still trust you. And I know it's a lie, but hey, man, it's baked in. But when you lie to somebody, if you feel like you were lied to, things change a little bit. So as far as Matt LaFleur, he just got on the job. And he has to understand, he got to get his players in there at some point. He can't come in and just ride on Aaron Rodgers' coattail for 4 years. What's going to happen after 4 years? He's not prepared. This guy's prepared. Now, how they got Jordan Love, I've moved past that. And I'm going to tell you what I think it is. I'm going to tell you exactly what I think it is. And I'll answer your question. We were jammed down our throat that this is the best wide receiver class of 25 years. That's all I heard. It was one team that we know about. I actually heard it was four or five teams that didn't agree with that. And some of the guys that put these reports together, they just couldn't. Are you kidding me? So as far as if a guy wins 13 games, if he can't earn your trust, then you didn't trust him in the beginning. So yeah, of course I trust Matt LaFleur, whether you think I'm biased or not, because I don't get paid by the Packers. I can say whatever I want to say. I'm keeping it straight 100. Of course, he's earned the trust. I think he's earned the right for people to give him a fair shot to get his quarterback. Whether we agree with how they went about doing it, didn't matter. But inside that building, if that kid got anywhere in them 20s, they were going to be aggressive and go get him. So to him, Matt LaFleur, by the way, it worked out perfectly. And he's just now starting to feel, Steve and Gary and Pluck, about feeling smoke either way, for and against him. He got to learn not to just let your fans fight these fights like this. Because he can't say some of the stuff, you know, the conversations they had leading up to it and stuff like that. So when you're listening to either side, the media side and the Packers side, it's somewhere probably in the middle. But the trust part, if you're a Packer fan, you probably didn't know when they hired him. You never heard of him. And you looked at his offense in Tennessee, they were, what, like 27th? You're thinking, why this guy got this job if he's supposed to be coming here and help score points, blah, 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 you know, having Aaron Rodgers. Okay, fine. But now he's earned the right for people to at least give him a second look, at least give him some leeway to get his people, A.J. Dillon, Josiah, the tight end from Cincinnati, give them a chance to be on the roster to be what I want in the future. I don't see nothing wrong with that. But if there's any fans out there felt like you were lied to, just because they didn't get a guy you wanted them to get, I think that's a little condescending on its face. I really do, just because they didn't do what you wanted them to do.
No, I don't think that's it. I think what it is what people want is they want him and Goody to say, look, we're preparing for our future.
No,
Rodgers isn't getting any younger. We're preparing for our future. That's what people want to hear other than the tired phrase of, it was the best player available, because that's what they say every year at every pick, no matter who the pick is.
Steve, the hoodie says that he gets a pass because he won a championship, so he can lie?
He doesn't say
anything. So he's earned the right to lie.
I guess so, yes.
They don't push him. A lot of these coaches don't. Mike McCarthy, okay, if a guy had an ankle injury, he would stand up there and say, man, the guy had a leg injury. And then you see the guy at practice, Gary, his ankle is taped up. Wait a minute, he said the leg, but is the leg part of the ankle? Wait a minute, is he right or is he wrong? Man, you ain't telling the truth. This man, why don't you just say he has an ankle injury? Well, I said he had a leg injury. I mean, what if the ankle turns into the shin and the shin gets shin splints and then the knee breaks down and I got myself covered? All these guys talk like this. I don't know why we're singling out Matt LaFleur. That's a head scratcher to me. Maybe because of this pick was so impactful. Then, yes, I'll give people space to feel that way. But as far as lied to, as far as trust, of course I trust him. He's second year on the job.
Okay, so the question is, do you still trust Matt LaFleur? Do you trust Matt LaFleur after his reasoning of why they took the Jordan Love pick? Pretty much saying best available player, that's who we took. That was his reasoning, and that apparently has upset some people. 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250, namely DA, host of the DA show on CBS Sports Radio. He'll be joining us coming up at 3:35. We'll take a quick timeout, come back on the other side, hear what Gary thinks about this.
Sure.
And an interesting tweet just put out calling out the Packers and Aaron Rodgers for something that I guess I hadn't really paid attention to until it was pointed out. And we'll discuss that, too, coming up on the other side. Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, executive producer Dan Plucker, other side of the glass. And you, wanting to know if you trust Matt LaFleur after his comments about the Jordan Love pick. I didn't think they were anything too outlandish, saying that best player available. That's the same crap we always hear from anybody that makes a draft pick in any pro sport, whether it's, you know, NBA, NFL, MLB, best player available. That's just what we did. That's the easiest way of not answering a question. You just throw that out there and move on, because legitimately there's no way to prove whether or not that person is right or wrong, because you're never going to see their draft board and how everybody stacked up regardless. So unless a draft board is actually leaked to social media, there's no way to prove or argue against that player being wrong either way, because you'll never know if that player is lying or that coach or GM or whoever is lying at the end of the day. Gary, do you still trust Matt LaFleur after what he said about the Jordan Love pick?
Well, here's the deal, Stevie, and I think we all know this, right? There was a coaching change, okay? And so we all know that at some point that Matt LaFleur was going to look for his quarterback. And you remember we had said this a long time ago, and that's why I like our show, and sometimes we remember stuff and sometimes we don't. That's not really why I like it. But we say some really interesting things. You remember, I think I said to you, or maybe one of us said it, that it's this hire. Is this Matt LaFleur hire? Is this for Aaron Rodgers or for after Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, you said that it was probably for after Aaron Rodgers. Yep.
I said it has to be for after Aaron Rodgers because how young this guy was. Now, I think he really only got a 4-year deal. And I think that matched up with Rodgers' contract. But I still thought that it was that this hire was a long term. I mean, really, the Packers don't really make a move in firing a coach in 2 or 3 years. I mean, of course, they did it once, well, a couple times. Well, in recent history, what was your boy name they let go? Joe Bob? What's his name? Ray Bob? Leroy? what's his name?
Ray Rose, man.
Yeah, what y'all call him, though?
Ray Bob.
Yeah, Ray Bob. They let Ray Bob go a little early, but for the most part, the Packers, they don't let coaches go like quick like that. So they kind of sit on a little bit. So for me, it wasn't really about trust. Now, what's his name, B.A. or D.A., Steve?
D.A.
Yeah, we're going to have D.A. Yeah, him too. We're going to have him on. And I don't know if it was the best available player. Simply, it was a guy looking to get his guy and move on from Rodgers.
Correct.
Now, Rodgers got a couple years left.
And I think that's DA's point, is that's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think, but I'm not surprised. I mean, I don't know why DA surprised. I guess DA wanted, I guess, maybe LaFleur to say that.
Say what it is. Right.
Yeah, to say we're moving on. I think, and you know what you want to do with DA? Maybe you play the cut from Mark Murphy when he said, which I thought was very telling, and whether you believe it or not, Steve, because we go back down this road again, who making a pick, who really not making a pick. But it led an insight on when Murphy said, well, I give Brian a lot of credit for making that pick.
Yes, he did.
He laid it at Goody's feet and said, this was his pick. Yeah,
he did.
He didn't lay it at LaFleur's feet because that would have discredited his general manager. So
right.
He had to lay it at
his
GM's feet.
Well, I did ask him,
LaFleur circled back and did ask him about that question. So they were both in on it together. I mean, no matter which way you look at it, I don't know if 100. Matt LaFleur mandated or – And that's what you got to have. You've got to have, which we didn't have for such a long time. You've got to have your head coach and your GM joined at the hook, joined at the hip when you're making those kind of moves.
I got a question, though, real quick. I never asked you that. I got to ask you this in front of at least, 2 million of my fans. Y'all may have 100 apiece.
100 apiece.
How did you know that setup was going to be like that between Murphy hiring LaFleur, and the three of them was going to talk? Because you were the first to tell me that before anybody reported that. But I know you don't got the big name and all that.
No, right.
I'm not going to say there's no sources, but how did you know about the silos coming? How did you foresee that? Or did somebody in a conversation?
Well, Leroy, the conversations were being had up at 1265 Lombardi. When you go to those games, everybody's up in the press box. Everybody's talking. I mean, I got some friends. I used to have more friends on the inside than I do now. The whole coaching staff is gone. But you could tell, you saw that where there was no communication with Ted and with Mike, you saw that there was a change coming. Now, I would agree with Steve. I don't know if Steve did say this, but I would agree with most people that did it take too long to let Ted go?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, probably, we all agree
probably
with
was.
That.
I mean, yeah, it probably was. That. Probably yeah. was. I mean, yeah. I can't. Yeah. I mean, he was. I mean, but the problem is because, and sometimes it works, because football and how it's ingrained, it's such a sport where it's about loyalty, and then you won a Super Bowl with a guy. You just can't go fire him. And then you look like idiots inside of the world of the NFL for firing Ted. So that's why they couldn't do it. Now, so be it. But you knew that Ted was on his own, doing his own thing.
But wait a second.
Maybe that was due to health reasons why he wasn't talking to anybody.
And that's where my issue comes in here. We aren't talking about Ted that was Ted. I mean, you had been hinting at it. Everybody had been hinting at that he just won couple of years.
Steve,
we
went back and played the soundtrack of when Ted first got there and what Ted was like. Now, you remember that?
Sure, for sure we did that, yes. But this is my thing. That's why I think it's different. If they would have given him his release 2 years earlier, people in the league knew what kind of condition Ted was in. It wouldn't have made them look any worse. They knew Ted had his stuff going on that he was dealing with. I don't. If it's different, if everything is normal and there's no big deal. But I think anybody around that organization and anybody around football probably knew that health wise, Ted probably wasn't necessarily Ted the last couple of years.
But see, every now and then he had a draft pick that worked, and that buys you time.
Well, that's nice,
and the team was winning.
Yeah.
You know, and then, he just kept, replacing guys. And, but they wanted to make sure. Now, what I don't know as much as Gary, he's a lot clued in to me, but I think the reason why they didn't want to knee jerk and get rid of him, they didn't have a replacement in mind at that time. They didn't have somebody they want to take over. And it just seemed like when Brian got the perfect storm to take over, because he had been scouting and people like him. He's just a nice guy, very honest guy. He's in front of the media more than I would like, but I think fans like that now. He kind of told you, if you listen to him, that he was going to take a quarterback, because he never, back in February or March, he didn't. He said, "Hey man, if it's a guy there, we'll take him. We'll take him. Yeah, no problem." He proved that to be true. So actually, he told. We got sound bites of it when he said somebody asked him that at the combine, I think, and this man said, "Hey, listen, we're not scared to do it," but no one believed him. Do y'all remember him saying that?
Yep, sure do.
Yeah, he said, "Hey man, I ain't scared." And it was Jordan Love name was kept floating out there.
Sure was.
Steve had a show. Steve asked me, who they better not select. Who did I say, Steve?
Jordan Love. That was the guy to stay away from.
Everybody kept saying Jordan Love.
That was draft day.
We
did that on draft day.
Show did.
Draft day, we did that. Hey, a tweet here I want to get to before we get to DA on the other side of CBS News.
Yeah, go to that tweet real quick.
It wasn't tweeted at the Fan, but we follow a lot of people on Twitter. And Perry... is a person's name, tweeted, "I would really appreciate a statement from the Packers organization. Where is Mark Murphy, Matt LaFleur, and our QB1 Aaron Rodgers? It's been days. Use your voices, please." Obviously concerning what happened in Minneapolis. And I was like, huh. So I went back on the Packers Twitter timeline to see, and sure enough, nothing. Now, today they have the Blackout Tuesday thing up on their Twitter. They tweeted out today, but outside of that, there's been nothing from the Packers league, on this whole George Floyd thing.
The league released the statement. That was for everybody.
Yeah, but you've seen coaches come out. Frank Wright came out with a big statement for the Indianapolis Colts. Sean Payton's been active for the New Orleans Saints. You've seen guys around the league that have come out and said stuff.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, the league covered them. If a guy want to do it, fine. If you don't, that's fine. I mean, I didn't take it no kind of way. I don't need to hear
that. What about you, Gary?
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Does it matter to you that the Packers haven't really done anything with this?
What do you want me to do?
He said he wanted them to make a statement.
There's a statement or something from the organization talking about, you know, their disbelief of what happened or their support. Something, anything. The Brewers have done it. Brewers have put out their statement. The Bucks have put out a statement. Packers haven't done anything.
Well,
kind of weird to me.
The statement surrounding, sure they have.
Find it.
Look on Instagram.
Well, on Twitter, there's nothing. So maybe I'm not on Instagram.
They have. Let me just double check. Yeah, they did it on Instagram. Sure.
Well, go ahead and read it. If you find it, we can read it. And that way everybody that's not on Instagram can see it. Because on Twitter, there's nothing.
Let them do it for themselves. But my thing, the thing they did today.
I'm not signed up on Instagram, so.
Well, it'll take a few seconds to stay. Now you know everything in context before somebody say that somebody didn't do something, they didn't look. But the thing they did today, to me, it was amazing about Blackout Tuesday. That was amazing. Now, so tell your young man.
Well, yeah, they did on Instagram. They did Blackout
Instagram
Tuesday.
It's
that's
up there,
today right? On all Twitter. But that's all they've done.
Yes.
We're asking, did they make a statement at any point about it? Like the Brewers have made a statement. The Bucks have made a statement. All these teams around the league.
And so have the Badgers.
And so I have the Badgers.
Well,
Chris
actually,
made a statement.
Paul Chris, yes. Paul
Chris, Chris Greg Gard made a statement. Yeah, Barry Alvarez has made a statement. Packers, no. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, they did the Blackout Tuesday.
They did the Blackout Tuesday, which I said earlier, right? That's on Twitter today. All right,
that's a statement in itself. It's all connected.
Well, that's good. I mean, if it doesn't bother you guys played for the organization. I obviously didn't play for them.
Bother me what?
We don't get paid from them.
They haven't really made a statement of any sort. I was asking you.
If they're doing a Blackout Tuesday, you know where they lie.
Right. Sure. Absolutely.
Right.
Right. Okay, he's Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler. Coming up, we will check in with DA, Damon Amendola, the host of the DA show on CBS Sports Radio. Weekday mornings here on The Fan. Obviously, you don't hear it because we have Bart Winkler and Bill Michaels on. So he's coming up next. He was the one that we played earlier in this hour talking about. He feels like he's getting lied to by the Green Bay Packers of why they actually made the pick.
I want to be in on this interview, Steve. Okay, don't leave me out.
That's good. Yeah. Dave Robinson, Pro Football Hall of Fame, Green Bay Packers lineman.
Oh,
he'll join us coming up at 4 o'clock here on the Wendy's Big Show.
Think out loud.
He does it all the time. Wendy's Big Show served up Hot and Fresh here on the Fan, live from the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios. GeneWagnerPlumbing.com for all of your plumbing needs. See Sparky Pfeiffer. Gary Ellerson, former Packer and Badger running back. Of course, he is the inventor of the Lambeau Leap, Leroy Butler, also Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist. And now joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, you listen to him on the DA show. He is DA here on the Fan. Thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Hey, guys. What's going on?
Well,
what's going on, DA?
We played your piece on Friday that you had last week talking about Matt LaFleur and not liking the way he went about addressing why they took Jordan Love. So figured we'd get you on and talk more about it.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on to talk about it. I just think that framing it as though Jordan Love was next man up on the board is insincere because they traded up to get him. You know, Jordan Love, had they actually fallen, had he fallen to their slot when they were selecting, I could buy that more. But if you're going to be aggressive enough to give up a draft pick to move up the slots to go get your quarterback, it's not like it's just next man up. He fell to us. Hey, we had to take him. This is a guy clearly they targeted. This is a guy clearly they believe can help them. This is a guy clearly going to be groomed to take over for Rodgers. That's their MO. They're allowed to do it. They believe that's the proper plan. I have no problem with executing your plan, even though I disagree with it. But I have a problem with trying to sell us that it just so happened he fell to us. Come on. You traded up to go get him. Clearly he was a target and a priority to go get.
Well, yeah, I mean, we know that, and I think when you look at the Packers, you got a new head coach, and when they hired Matt LaFleur, we were wondering, okay, you got a four-year contract. Is this contract 4 years for Rodgers, or this is a head coach that's going to be after Rodgers? And I think what that told us is that maybe LaFleur is going to be here longer than Rodgers by making a pick. I wasn't so upset with the pick, although a lot of people were, because a lot of people say, yo, you were in the NFC Championship game last year. Clearly you need more receivers and you didn't get it done. Now you go waste a pick on a guy that's going to be, it's going to take 3-4 years. And what is that going to get you? Obviously, they felt like that they have the guys in-house to get that done. So I wasn't so, it didn't rile me that they didn't tell us the truth. When did these guys ever tell us the truth, D.A.? Do they ever?
That's a fair point. I mean, I guess you can't expect front offices and coaches to ever truly, you know, be
they
totally
never do.
Up front. But, I mean, I think the thing is, if Matt LaFleur and the front office says, you know what, we feel like Rodgers is still good, but we want to make sure we have depth at that position. We want to make sure that we're always grooming a guy to be able to take over in case of injury. You can really dress it up as though, you know, we're just doing what's in the best, you know, the best realm of the Packers without actually having to say we don't think Rodgers has it anymore. But I just don't think anybody could take it as sincere when you trade up to go get a guy and say he happened to be next guy on the board. It just so happened he fell to us. Those two things just don't mix, because you actually had to give up draft capital to go get that guy.
Yeah, D.A., this is Leroy Butler, by the way. Gutekunst was asked about this back in February, I think, before everything kind of fell apart in the country. People were asking him about, did he have guts enough to select a quarterback? And he said his normal spin. I think no one spins it better than me, D.A., if you've been listening to this show. But he kind of said it. Hey, I'm not scared to take a quarterback. So we didn't take him for his word. So now I think a lot of people thought this is the best receiver draft in 25 years. That was sold to everybody, but the Packers didn't see it that way. And I think the Packers, based on what I know, said if a kid gets in the 20s, we're gonna go get him. Had they moved up to the 15s or maybe even 10 to get him, your point is well taken. But when they thought he got into the 20s, it was a chance to move and get him four spots to give up a fourth round pick. We all were surprised, but I think in that building, I think it worked out perfectly based on what they're saying.
Maybe it did, Leroy. You know, I had an issue not only that the Packers did not draft a quarterback there, but did not draft at least a player that could assist in 2020 in helping to win a Super Bowl. To me, right. Yes, you want to draft the next guy to take over for Aaron Rodgers, okay?
Sure.
Found a way to get from Favre to Rodgers. There's been a few times in NFL history where you could go from Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer, but it's few and far between. The idea that Jordan Love is going to become a Hall of Famer, to me, is a bit of a pipe dream, but hopefully he does. But while you have a Hall of Famer, and you did get to the NFC Championship game, even if they weren't as powerful as a 13-3 record would indicate last year, I still wanted to see them help out the 2020 roster. And there's no way Jordan Love can help Aaron Rodgers win a Super Bowl, because if Aaron Rodgers is playing, that means Jordan Love is not. And so that part of it bothered me about building for the now when you're this close. But I think you're right. They must have liked Jordan Love enough. They must have said, hey, he's fallen to the 20s. We should go snap him up. But I do think there's a way that Matt LaFleur and Goot and the rest of the front office can say publicly, we got the best kid. We feel good about where we're at. We have depth at that position, without kind of dressing it up as, hey, we just kind of got lucky here. He just fell to us. Because I think, as you were alluding to, they had conversations before this draft that if Jordan Love gets to a certain moment in the draft, we're going to get him. And that's different from just saying, our other targets were off the board, and it just so happened he was the next kid up.
D.A., when you
but
look...
see, D.A., real quick, I'm sorry, I apologize, Steve. D.A., they would rather upset you, me, Steve, Gary, the fan base, but they don't want to upset Aaron Rodgers. They can't say what you said. Right, they can't say that.
Right.
It's one of those things, go ahead.
I think you're absolutely right on. And so I think it speaks to a second story, which is, it's only late May when LaFleur made that comment. And we're already hearing them basically have to position it as, hey, we kind of got lucky here. This had nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers, which tells me that they know they're in for a world of maneuvering and navigating and massaging that relationship, which is a whole different can of worms that they put on themselves that was, to me, unnecessary.
Why was it unnecessary, D.A.? I'm sorry, Guy Lee, Steve, I'm sorry. Why was it unnecessary, D.A.?
Well, I think because Aaron Rodgers is still good enough to win a Super Bowl over the next 3 years. I would bet everything that I have that Rodgers is good enough today, 2021, 2022, that you could win a Super Bowl. And I don't think this was a problem that had to be solved this year, especially from a kid that is a project. Look, I've got nothing against Jordan Love, but everybody that watched him week in, week out, if you do watch the film, if you look at his stats, if you looked at his competition, you know he's not ready right now. So at the very least, he's a project over the next 2 to 3 years. That means that he's not a slam dunk, polished, okay, we'll plug him in and we know he's our guy. Now, you could say the same thing about Aaron Rodgers, and it worked out great. But it's a little different to take Jordan Love today and know you've got to work on him over the next 3 years to get him into a place to win, versus, hey, we really did have a polished kid fall to us, and we just had to take him. And even if we're not ready to give the mantle over to that kid, we just had to grab that kid. This was not a problem to me to fix the Aaron Rodgers situation. Now, you could have tried to fix it next year or the year after that. I think it was premature now, and now you've opened up a can of worms that you really didn't need to on a kid that you've got to polish so much to get to be the solution.
Yeah, but I think at the end of the day, DA, how much longer does Rodgers really have left here? I mean, yeah, he's got 4 years left on his deal. Based on the way the salary is all situated here, after 2 years, they can pretty much be out of this deal if they want to be, if they think Jordan Love is ready. And if after 2 years they don't think Jordan Love is ready and isn't close to being ready, they can make another draft pick of a quarterback higher in the draft to get another 2 years to get the next guy ready. Doing it so early gives you a better chance of getting this right.
But it also submarines your chances to win right now with that Hall of Fame quarterback. I mean, there is probably only going to be, out of this era, 1-2 quarterbacks that are greater than Aaron Rodgers. And maybe that's, you would consider Tom Brady, and maybe it's going to be Patrick Mahomes or something like that. I mean, you right now have one of the three best quarterbacks of his era. It's still a Super Bowl winning caliber. To draft a guy that may or may not be your guy in 2 or 3 years, and if he's not, you've got to spin the wheel of quarterbacking drafts again to me is a wasted draft pick.
But,
and as I said, compounds all of the other problems. You didn't help Aaron Rodgers today. You have now had to massage the Aaron Rodgers relationship, and they haven't even reported a camp yet. And you're not even willing to be honest about why you took him.
I don't disagree with you on your take on whether or not they were honest and what they did. I completely agree with you. But if you're following along here with what Matt LaFleur wants and how he wants his offense to run, last year they were at a 58-59% pass-to-run ratio. They want to get down to closer to 52-51%, mm-hmm. which means less throwing the ball for Aaron Rodgers, which also sets up for the next quarterback not to have to be a Hall of Fame quarterback in order to try to win a Super Bowl. And look at the San Francisco 49ers. They got a lot of money spent on Jimmy Garoppolo. And then when you put your chips down, he's throwing the ball 7, 8, 9 times in a football game. Look at what happened last year in Tennessee. I just think it's them saying, we got a great wide receiver in Davante Adams. I don't need 3 or 4 great wide receivers if I want to run the football as much as I do and take the ball out of the quarterback's hands.
Well, two things there. With all due respect, Jimmy Garoppolo didn't win a Super Bowl. And the blueprint that the Niners put together is an anomaly in 2020. It is not something that is sustainable to win Super Bowls regularly or even perhaps win one. Now, granted, they were very close, 10-point lead fourth quarter, and it took, of course, the kind of meltdown by Garoppolo, but it did show that if you didn't have true trust in a quarterback to make plays, you were doomed in today's NFL. So I don't think that right now is where any NFL team would want to have to get to. I mean, Ryan Tannehill makes the Titans special last year because the Titans used to be the 49ers where all they did was run the football, and they finally found a quarterback that could open it up. So I do think that that's really, really important. But as I'll go back to the wide receiver point, I don't think they had to get a wide receiver if they didn't like a wide receiver there. I think it's a miss to not help out Aaron Rodgers in 2020 at any one of a number of positions that the Packers could have used a first-round draft pick on. Let's face it, Leroy, and everybody knows this in Wisconsin, when you have a first-round draft pick, that guy's supposed to be drafted and make a Pro Bowl. That is the expectation of a first-round draft pick. It is not to maybe make the team, maybe be a project, maybe he'll be the guy 3 years. You got a first-round pick, that guy's got to be a Pro Bowler for your team or else you feel like you missed out on it. So to basically punt on that, a potential Pro Bowl caliber player, while you have one of the greatest quarterbacks of his era that is still a Super Bowl caliber quarterback, I do think is a wasted draft pick.
Let me ask you this. What's your overall thoughts on the Green Bay Packers organization as a whole within the last 25, 30 years?
Really strong, really consistent, and an organization that I think a lot of fan bases would love to root for. I do think it's ultimately disappointing that Rodgers has only been to one Super Bowl. And if the Green Bay Packers have 15 years of Aaron Rodgers and have gone to one Super Bowl and have, of course, sniffed it a couple of times with a 15-1 season in 2011, the NFC Championship game collapse in Seattle, and, you know, a couple of others, you know, you got close, but it's hard to feel completely content that the Packers organization got the most out of having one of the best quarterbacks of all time.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you say the same thing about the Saints and Drew Brees?
Yeah, I do. I think the Packers have been more balanced on average than the Saints have had under Brees. Only recently did the Saints have a defense and have a running game that could support Brees. So I would say the last 3 years of the Saints, to be as good as they were and not come away with a Super Bowl appearance is disappointing. But on the whole, I think the Saints for so long were Drew Brees, and if it's not a great Brees game, they're cooked. I don't think you could say the same thing necessarily about Rodgers and the Packers.
Well, let me ask you this. So if Mahomes only wins one Super Bowl, would you feel the same way about Mahomes and the Chiefs?
Yeah, I certainly would, especially considering how early, I mean, he won it in his career. I mean, look, the early trajectory is crazy for Mahomes. He's won an NFL MVP, a Super Bowl MVP, and has been a number one seed in the AFC Championship game 2 years as a starting quarterback. So if we go for the first 2 years of Mahomes at that level, and then he can never get back to a Super Bowl, and let's assume that he plays at least another 10 or 12 years,
exactly.
Yeah, peaking early. I mean, it's a little like the Dan Marino corollary. Marino goes to the Super Bowl in year number two and never gets back, there's never a Dolphins fan that doesn't feel, even had he won that Super Bowl, that that wasn't a disappointment. I think you would say that about Mahomes.
I guess what I'm saying, outside of the New England Patriots, who else is doing this though, DA? I think what we forget sometimes is how hard it is to win a Super Bowl, or how hard it is to get there. Like, everything has to fall into place. I think the Patriots, it gives us a false sense of, like, I don't think people realize how great the New England Patriots are. Now, a lot of people don't like them because of the hoodie, the cheating, and all that stuff. And I've said this stuff, and maybe people call me crazy, but this is history in the making that we're looking at with the Patriots, and they make it look easy, and no other organization can be like that.
Well, I do think that that's a fair point. You can't expect any organization to have the Patriots' run of success. But if you're comparing Aaron Rodgers to his contemporaries, Ben Roethlisberger went to 3 Super Bowls. Eli Manning went to 2. Peyton Manning went to 4. You do have other contemporaries. Russell Wilson has been to 2. You do have his peers around him that have either doubled or tripled or quadrupled, or in Tom Brady's case, times 9 of what Rodgers did. I think that, you know, Aaron Rodgers being as great as he is and still being, in my estimation, great enough to win a Super Bowl, I think you'd be hard-pressed to feel like you went the final 10 or 12 years of Rodgers' career and not made it back there without feeling a little bit like, man, that's a disappointment.
D.A., I wanted to give you more time for this, but Gary just hogged all the time.
No, D.A. said he's got nowhere to go, man. Just stop it, man. We have a conversation.
I got plenty of time here, guys.
He got nowhere to go, man.
Here. Let me know when you want me to.
Yeah, he ain't going anywhere, man. We're going to Zoom D.A. next time.
We have to get to Dave Robinson at the top of the hour. But I wanted to give for 15 seconds. Now it's 10.
No, we got plenty of time for D.A. Take your time, D.A.
Listen, I want to just know how you got in the business. Because our listeners want to know. Because you got a great delivery. We understand. I like you have the guts to say what you think. I like that. Because on this show, we don't say who's right or wrong. Everybody got an opinion. It's like a barbershop. So tell me how you got started in the business in, like I said, 10 or 15 seconds.
You got long. Well, take your time.
Went to broadcast school and knew that I wanted to be a sportscaster. Didn't know where I fit in. But I always had a real passion about sports and opinions that came along with that passion. And I was reared on NFL films. I'll never forget sitting in front of my dad's Sony Trinitron that was in a big wooden case on wheels in my living room and watching fantastic finishes in Super Bowl highlight films and the Lombardi Packers highlights and just kind of like living and breathing by that. And so football was always my passion. The NFL was always my passion. And I got to marry the two together, and I feel really fortunate to do so. But because I have so much passion and because I followed it for such a long time, and you know, look, I was a kid in New York that had a Robert Brooks Packers jersey, okay? So I have had a passion about certain teams and certain organizations for a long time. I'm a guy that wears my heart on my sleeve, and if you ask me a question, you get a direct answer. And I just don't know how to do it any other way, I guess. Nice.
D.A., thanks so much for coming on, man. Used to be on this station after our show at 6 o'clock until you moved up to do mornings on CBS Sports Radio.
Now.
Yeah, I know. I'm just glad you're still able to come on the show. D.A., thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you for asking, guys. Whatever you need me, let me know. I'll talk to you soon.
Uh-oh, sounds we're going to use you.
Take care.
Appreciate it.
Should have
never
said that.
There he is, D.A.
Here we go.
Check out D.A.'s show on CBS Sports Radio on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. As your passion on growing your home, Great Midwest Bank Home Renovation Loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. Some news coming out of the National Football League. I'll tell you what that is coming up next. Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on the Fancy Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler. Just saw on Twitter a statement put out by Ben and Jerry's. You know, the ice cream guys or whatever.
Yeah, what are they doing?
Ooh, pretty strong. Very strong.
They sell it at
statement.
Pick and Save, by the way.
Very, very strong statement by Ben and Jerry's that you
what
can
Ben and Jerry talking about?
See on social media. Leroy, should I read
Brace
it?
Brace yourself.
Do you want me to read it?
Please.
Okay, this is from Ben and Jerry's. The murder of George Floyd was a result of inhumane police brutality that is perpetuated by a culture of white supremacy. What happened to George Floyd was not the result of a bad apple. It was a predictable consequence of a racist and prejudiced system and culture that has treated black bodies as the enemy from the beginning. What happened to George Floyd in Minneapolis is the fruit born of toxic seeds planted on the shores of our country in Jamestown in 1619, when the first enslaved man and women arrived on this continent. Floyd is the latest in a long list of names that stretches back to that time and that shore. And then it lists some names, and they say some of these names we know, and most we don't. Yeah.
Ben and Jared probably lose a lot of people eating the ice cream.
Yeah.
But they're going to gain a lot of new people eating that ice cream.
Yeah, they're going to lose some, though, for sure. They're going to lose some, and they're going to gain some. Yeah.
Because if you don't agree with some of that, fine. But they putting it out there. It ain't about money to them. It just ain't.
Okay, so we got some news coming out here from the NBA and the NFL. So I'll just read this once, and then I'll tell you the news from both. Breaking news on the fans brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Conference. Go listen at radio.com/Dell. Okay, so Dave Robinson, Pro Football Hall of Famer of the Packers, coming up in the next segment. Quickly here getting you updated. Adam Schefter is reporting that the NFL has told its teams that they are to hold their summer training camps at their own facilities. Now, what does that mean for teams traveling to play these interscribed practices or whatever you want to call it about that the Packers wanted to do? I think they wanted to do one or two of this year. I don't know.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
But no traveling. So remember, like, the Bears used to travel to Platteville and that type of stuff, or Bourbon A. Yeah. None of that's going to be allowed. You're going to have to be at your own facility doing your own training camp. So that's the first thing coming from Adam Schefter. Now from the NBA, Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN. ESPN sources, as the NBA models a 22-team format for a July 31st resumption in Orlando, the proposed timeline for teams as the last possible date for an NBA Finals Game 7 is October 12th. October 12th would be a Game 7, if there was a Game 7, in the NBA Finals. So worst-case scenario, this season would be done October 12th. Obviously, they'd probably want it done sooner than that.
Right.
But if it drags out all the way through, we're talking about middle of October. As far as baseball goes, we aren't even close to finding out how this whole thing is going to play out with baseball, so we'll just have to wait and see how that would go for Major League Baseball. But either way, they're going to be, the NBA will be a month and a half into the NFL season before they're done, and then a lot of people think they'll resume and start the next season right around Christmas, just 2 months later. And then you would have free agency, and the draft would then have to occur at some point in October or November as well. And free agency, and then you're back in training camp again for the start of the next season. It is going to be a short turnaround this season compared to other seasons previous. All right, coming up next, Dave Robinson, the Pro Football Hall of Fame lineman for the Green Bay Packers, joins the Wendy's Big Show here on The Fan.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.